League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Initial Reaction Podcast, once again, joining me is JP Gadorin of Time Warner Cable Sports Channel.
And I'm sitting next to J.R. Radcliffe of Lake Country Publications.
I threw a curveball at you, didn't I?
Begrudgingly, because there's nothing to talk about this week.
Okay, so the thing is that it's like pulling teeth trying to get JP to sit down for a podcast. Pulling teeth. So this week I thought I would do him a favor and say, you know, there's not a whole lot going on. Maybe we'll just not have the podcast this week. And then Bo Ryan retired. The Bucks beat the Warriors. Everything blew up. And the Brewers
the
continued
Bucks
to blow up.
The Bucks then lost to the Lakers.
Yeah, oh my goodness. And then probably the biggest story for our purposes this week, coming in the prep sphere, where Arrowhead football coach Greg Malling elected to leave the program to take a job in Minnesota.
Ugh, Minnesota. Why? Why?
Nothing moves the needle quite like Arrowhead High School if we're talking about prep sports.
That is true.
And you, of course, we've talked about this ad nauseum, are an Arrowhead alum, so you have some insight into this.
Yeah.
I was not surprised.
I don't have any insight, but go on.
Well, Malling led Arrowhead to four consecutive state title appearances. Arrowhead is a powerhouse program, best in the state next to Kimberly, who I think can safely be called the premier program in the state of Wisconsin right now. So Malling had a lot of success, came from out of the state when he was hired. He's now leaving the state. He was here for 5 years, 18-2 the last 4 years in the playoffs, just crazy good numbers, 19-3 overall in the playoffs since he's been here. We're not surprised it happened because I was kind of reading the tea leaves over the last few weeks, thinking this was a possibility. Maybe I didn't see that he was going to go to take a job in Minnesota for a program that's like 0-9 last year and in need of a rebuild. So what was your initial reaction when you heard about that?
Oh, nice. I was pretty shocked. I mean, he has this thing cooking at what he wanted. You know, obviously a tremendous level of success that pretty much nobody has ever matched. I believe they're the first team to ever go to four straight state title games.
In Division One, they are. Not across the board, but in Division
One. Well, the Edgars and
Stratfords
of the world.
There, yep.
Yeah, okay. Or St. Mary's Springs, maybe. But I was still shocked. And not only did he have such success, but he did it while, like, completely changing. I mean, they became a shotgun spread,
definitely, yes,
ridiculously powered, high-powered offense team. So it's not like he just came in, used the players he had, and left. I mean, it was like he really adapted and like set this thing up for future success. So that's what was pretty crazy to me, that obviously there's no signs of downturn ahead. I mean, yeah, you lose good players, but they do every year. So I'm not,
right.
I don't think there's anything that screamed, man, he really needs to get out now before it gets pretty bad.
I mean, that's a really good point. Our story, you can check it out on lakecountrynow.com, included some quotes from the athletic director, Kevin Flagner, when they hired him. People were freaking out.
Yeah.
Because
oh, yeah.
For 29 years, Tom Taraska, yeah, Hall of Fame head coach, was leading this program. They played smash mouth, run the ball, you know, maybe pass the ball five times a game. And Malling came in and completely changed it overnight.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it took two years for people to even realize Arrowhead is not what they used to be.
Yeah.
So, and at the same time, still had what you're talking about, instant success. I mean, they went
8-2 in his first year?
Yeah, 8-2 the first year. They lost in level 2 of the playoffs to Verona. That was really the 1 year where the Big 8 was clearly better than the Classic 8.
It has the Big 8 Classic 8 playoff
Yes,
challenge.
It has not been that way ever since.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to have that level of success with a brand new system so fast is just kind of dizzying in a way.
Yeah.
But he's a guy who doesn't have roots in Wisconsin. I mean, not that that's a detriment,
yeah,
but just saying why maybe this move makes a little bit more sense. He came from Maryland. He had turned around a program there.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy, I think he's from North Dakota originally.
Yeah.
I don't believe his wife lived in the area. He lived kind of in his own little spot in Heartland, and he doesn't have any kids. So just really kind of football was his life. He was, in my mind, he was perfect for any football program because, A, the dedication level through the roof.
Yeah.
B, he's, in my you know, my experience, very easygoing guy, really likable guy. I got the sense that he'd be very frank with you. He would tell you what you needed to know without being just like in your face about it. And there are a lot of great coaches who have been in your face. I'm not saying that's the only way to go, but I just thought he was perfect for that program. I think it's a big loss.
Yeah, and to me it just kind of screamed like he's a football coach. Like this just sounds like such a, I don't know if that makes sense, but like where this is the only description for him. Like he's, this is a football coach, you know, moving on to the next program. Because again, he's not somebody who grew up in the area or even in the state. You know, he grew up in North Dakota apparently, but then Maryland. Then he went to Florida and coached there.
Yeah,
well.
I think other way around, but still Florida, Maryland.
You know, and this is just the next stop for him, which is weird because in Wisconsin we're pretty isolated from that. We don't get any sort of big name coaches coming in.
No,
it's all
right.
People who have been come up through the system. Steve Jones at Kimberly was an assistant at Kimberly.
You're right. You're right. It's a very self-contained universe.
So we don't see that ever. If somebody ever leaves a coaching job here, they don't certainly don't go to another state. You know, maybe they would go to another program, but even then, it's probably after they take a couple years off or something like that.
Yeah, you're totally right.
So it's really it's something that we just don't see at all. So that's why it was a little shocking. The fact that it's, you know, a doormat Minnesota program that's won 5 games in the last 5 years or whatever the stat is, not too big of a deal to me because
I
could totally see how, to him, that probably didn't even matter.
And this is not a tiny high school either. Yeah. I mean, it's a big school.
To him, I don't think it mattered if they just won their 5th straight state title or if they hadn't won, you know, ever. I think if he sees something that he likes, whether it's the population, the community around it, facilities, people, you know, there, I think that's probably what drew him.
The only other example I can think of is Jed Kennedy, who's now at Brookfield Central.
He left.
He left from Kenosha Bradford, leading them to a state title.
Yeah.
He went to Florida for like a year and then came back and he coached at Pulaski.
Then to Pulaski,
and now at Brookfield Central.
So he really did, he did 4 schools in 4 years.
Yeah, he had a whirlwind.
2 states.
I think it might have been 5 years. I don't remember for sure.
I believe it's four.
Four and
okay.
four. Wow, okay. Sorry, JP.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah. You're probably
right. I was a little surprised, but, you know, I have no hard feelings to him. He always treated me
very well whenever I talked to him.
What I like, you were kind of mentioning before how he's kind of frank with you. Like, he wasn't afraid to say no to one of my dumb questions, my service reporting questions.
Yes.
Like, he wasn't afraid to say, like, no, I don't think that's it. I think, you know, our guys just worked harder or something.
Right, right.
You know? Then he probably put in a coaching cliche. But he at least said no, and he wasn't just kind of a pushover, just say whatever the media wants interview. So I'm sad to see him go for sure.
When something like this happens, it's sort of natural to speculate why. I don't think there, not yet, is there a crystal clear answer. I mean, it could be as simple as just wanted to be closer to family.
Yeah.
It always makes me wonder, okay, well, what kind of outside forces were making this easier to leave? And by that I mean parents or not necessarily administrators, so that comes up. This is not just an Arrowhead thing. Just in general, there are a lot of cases where coaches will want to walk out the door because they get a lot of heat undeservedly because the program is successful.
Oh, and I can't imagine what he faced the first 2 years that he was in that
program. Especially because they didn't trust. I have to think there was a lot of mistrust going from the Taraska era, which, I mean, that was a generation
to
a brand new system.
And it was Taraska took him to 06, 07, 08 state.
Yep.
They won one of them, lost two. But, you know, you're coming off these state titles. Mauling loses in the second round of the playoffs this first year. I can't imagine what he heard.
Yeah.
Those parents are so involved over there.
Of course, at Arrowhead.
So involved, which is a lot of reason for their success.
Right, yes.
But,
there's a dark side.
There is
a dark side, to use an appropriate Star Wars cliche.
And I
don't know if that had anything to do with it. But I do know in Lake Country, and really everywhere, but in Lake Country, there is a lot of parent involvement to the detriment sometimes of coaching at multiple schools. So hopefully that did not play a role here. That has certainly become something that a lot of coaches get burned out on very quickly.
Yeah.
It seems like the more successful the program, the more you hear it too.
But you're right. I would love to know all the factors at work.
Yep.
I would love to know the relationship between him and any sort of administration at Arrowhead, between the parents, maybe even players, the family life, how strong of a tie that actually was. What monetarily, I wonder what he was getting at Arrowhead and what he's getting now in Minnesota. You know, there's a lot of things. Was he teaching?
He was a teacher, an English
teacher.
So
there you go. So I wonder what the position is, if he's going to be.
Yep.
Maybe it's just football and he gets access to the Golden Gophers facilities every day to practice.
Maybe he just wanted a new challenge. I mean, what more would he have done at Arrowhead? He could have taking him to more state titles, won more state titles, taken no, second.
Could not have taken more state titles.
I'm not sure there's more to be done.
You know, that Mullen guy was good, but he didn't get to five straight state titles. He's kind of second tier coaching-wise.
The four straight state trips, as we mentioned, had never been done before in Division I.
So. You know what else I want to know the full story to?
Tell me.
Why were the Bucks out till 2 in the morning before they lost?
Hey!
I know this is a family-friendly podcast, so there's nothing wrong with where they went. They went to a place frequented by pretty much only males late at night with women around in certain occupations. But I just want to know why. And then how direct of an effect that had on their loss to the league's second worst team, the Lakers, that night.
I don't know. I imagine there were some Pitbull songs being played. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm torn on this to a degree. I completely understand why that would be frowned upon.
Yeah,
I mean, they're a team that is super young.
Because it's like, is it a big deal? Not really. But it becomes a big deal when you lose to the Lakers.
Yeah,
the next
I agree with that.
If you beat the Lakers last night, that doesn't even register. Oh, look at those Bucks.
You're
they're
totally
so
right. And TMZ probably doesn't even run the report because what's the angle there? Yeah. Oh,
I'm surprised
team went
they
out.
Even knew that those were Bucks players.
Yeah, I know, because they're not exactly household
faces.
Yeah,
I was half expecting the report to say 3 Bucks players and Miles Plumlee spotted in the bar.
Poor Miles Plumlee.
Spotted in the club.
Yeah.
But, okay, so they're spotted out until 2 a.m.
3 a.m.
Okay, so
super
now listen, they don't start work until like 5 p.m. You know, maybe they have a shoot around in the morning.
There's
but like,
time to recover.
It's a different, it's just a completely different body schedule.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just like bartenders and anybody who works, you know, in that
you're right.
in that
it's
restaurant
not like you're waking
industry.
Up for work.
They don't work at 9 to 5.
To be there 8 in
yeah,
the morning.
They
yeah,
their 2 a.m. is like our 8:30, you know, so we probably fall asleep on the couch at that time.
That's a very fair way to look at it. I mean, it's a non-story in a week. I don't think anybody's going to remember or care. I mean, the bottom line is the Bucks are really inconsistent, and I think people are sort of unfairly, fairly, however you want to look at it, they're expecting that these guys are working to figure out a solution. And you see guys going out, and they wonder, how hard could they be working on a solution if they're out the day of their game?
They're about to go 0-4 on this road trip because they're going to get destroyed by the Warriors. Yeah. Apparently, the Warriors are angry at the way that they celebrated.
That's just garbage. We don't even need to talk about that. But we are recording this Friday afternoon with 100% certainty that the Golden State Warriors will beat the Bucks
next week.
This will still be perfectly accurate. The Warriors have, in fact, is it greater than 100% the chance that the Warriors will defeat the Bucks?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I would agree.
So I don't know, but I think we would just like to see signs of them caring, of them giving a crap. And it doesn't, you also have to factor in the time change too, if you want, that 3 a.m. Los Angeles time is 5 a.m. here.
Well, right.
I don't know.
But it's still, they're still playing on that same schedule. So like 3 a.m. in L.A., they're still playing. In any event. I mean, life on the road is hard in any pro sports situation. These are young kids. They want to have fun in L.A. They're there for 3 days. I totally get it. I don't have a problem with it.
I wouldn't say it bothers me, but I don't. It would be nice not to see that.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. It'd be nice to know. Because I guess for me the bigger problem is I don't think there's a solution to their problems right now. Their defense isn't good enough to win in the NBA.
Yeah.
And it's so inconsistent. They're inconsistent. We're getting to the point where they lose 3 games or 2 games for every game. So that's not inconsistent.
Yeah.
That's bad. And at some point, they're not even going to be a playoff team. And I just want to know that...
13th in the East right now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I just want to know that there's a direction to get them into the playoffs. Because we still assume this is a playoff team.
Yeah.
Well, how much longer can we make that assumption?
And the weird part is, I mean, now the East looks a little bit stronger this year records-wise.
Absolutely.
Looks like there's not going to be any teams under 500. But really, like, the goal for this team was, what, like 46, 47 wins? All that is play 500 the entire year. Just play it safe, play 500. You need one 5-game winning streak.
Yeah,
and
you're
it.
Good.
And you're
absolutely.
Set. And you're the 4 seed.
Yep.
You know?
Yep, you're right. Right now, though, to me, it still
looks
like
different.
The Golden State Warriors win is going to be the highlight of the 2015-16 season. Obviously,
goodness.
I hope I'm wrong.
All right. Yeah.
So the Wisconsin Badgers had some big news.
Yeah, beating Corpus Christi. I agree. That actually, so that was an easy joke. Truth be told, I believe, I'm pretty sure, and then somebody confirmed what I thought, that is their best win of the season.
Oh, yeah?
Like, RPI-wise.
Oh, really?
Like, that's even better than beating Syracuse.
Badgers are so bad this year.
Yeah.
It hurts.
So there's a lot of problems there. But there's a solution, because Greg Gard is the new interim head coach.
And I think with 100% universality, everyone understands what happened is Bo Ryan wanted Greg Gard to be the coach. Barry Alvarez wasn't yet prepared. Not that he was going to say no, in my estimation, but he wasn't going to say, yes, let's do it. So Bo Ryan decided to stay a little bit longer than me. Well, he was going to stay anyway this year, but now he leaves early to ensure that Greg Gard gets an audition.
One last Bo Ryan victory is that his last win is getting Greg Gard to get an audition for coach.
Right. Barry Alvarez strikes me as a pretty stubborn guy. I've never met him, but I don't know if this is necessarily going to change the course of history for Barry Alvarez. I don't think he's going to say, wow, Greg Gard really coached them well. I'm not going to conduct a national search to look for a replacement.
But at least now Greg Gard has coaching experience to where he could be a viable candidate. But again, so let's say the Badgers go 8-10 in Big Ten play, and the Badgers kind of suck the rest of the year. Well, that's not necessarily Greg Gard's fault.
No, you're right.
You looked at the preseason; couldn't have been much.
But Ryan wasn't winning with them, and understandably, so this is just a very unusual team.
Yeah. So how do you actually judge how good of a coach Greg Gard is based on this crap team?
And let's say that happens, and it could. But at the same time, they've got four freshmen in the rotation. Like, this team is going to get better.
Yeah. It's like, and Brevin Pritzel is out. Van Fleet is out, not there, so
it's like when Craig Counsell took over for Ron Renneke. Yeah. It's like, this team is going to get better, and they didn't really, the Brewers, but you have to figure that the Badgers are going to improve. I mean, they do have a decent win against Syracuse on the docket.
Are they?
I don't know. I don't know, but I think at worst they're going to be just this. They're going to be inconsistent, hit and miss over the course of the year. I don't think they're going to finish in the top four in the Big Ten at this point, but
there are three national title contenders in the Big Ten: Purdue, Michigan State, and Maryland.
Yeah.
And then there are other teams that are still really good. Like, Michigan on paper is great.
Yeah, if Caris LeVert's having a good game, the Badgers can't beat that team.
So, I mean, there's a lot of other teams that have shown us at least something, whereas the Badgers have shown absolutely nothing.
But that's the thing, because they're playing so many young kids, you have to think at some point one or two of them emerges into being. I mean, we've seen that before over and over.
All right,
well, that's the
thing.
I mean, 2 years ago, Frank Kaminsky was a nobody. 3 years ago. So you just cannot predict what they're going to get out of these players. I still think, you know, if I'm Barry Alvarez, I feel like I'd be understandably a little miffed here, because you're coming off back-to-back Final Fours. The cachet your program has never been better.
Yep.
Shaka Smart, you know, off the top of your head, has to be one of the candidates, or would have been one of the candidates before he took the job at Texas. Certainly Tony Bennett's name is going to come up. You can really have a who's who of hot, young, reasonably middle, in the middle of their careers, coaching opportunities, and instead, Bo Ryan decides he really wants to hand it off to Greg Gard. So I can understand, if you're Barry Alvarez, how you're kind of missed out. You're being forced to miss an opportunity here.
Is it worth looking at this at all pessimistically and, like, being angry at how this played out at Bo or Barry?
Well, I think, I mean, you could if you wanted to. If you wanted to discount everything that Bo Ryan did.
Yeah, from a pure journalism perspective, like, do we need to take this pessimistic view? Now, like, we have, us in the media and everybody, especially the fans, for the past 2 years have just heaped praise on Bo.
Oh, yeah, it's gross.
I mean, when somebody asks me, like, you know, what do you think about Bo leaving? It's like, what do you even say? Like, the Final Fours, the wins, the top four in the Big Ten every year. Like, what can you possibly say that hasn't been said over the last 2 years?
Yeah, I think it's, that stuff is all a given. You can look at this negatively. You could say that Bo Ryan pulled a power play, that he shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
If he really wanted to not coach this year, it should have been at the beginning of the year when everybody had a fair shake.
You can also say that, why is Greg Gard this hot commodity when even UW Green Bay wouldn't hire
exactly.
him?
Exactly. You could say, well, Barry Alvarez did the same thing, so why should he be upset about it? Mm-hmm. At the same time, you could say, well, Barry Alvarez has made, if you think of football and men's basketball as the two major sports at a university,
which everybody does,
he's made one hire. I mean, he sort of willed it to Brett Bielema, understandably. Mm-hmm. And then after that, he made one hire in one of those two sports. It was Gary Anderson, and it went poorly. I mean, obviously, he followed it up with Paul Christ, and the jury is out there. We don't know how good he is or isn't. So I could see Bo Ryan saying, well, you didn't really hit on Gary Anderson. How do I know that when you conduct a national search, bring in a guy that you're going to be passing up Greg Gard and missing an opportunity?
Bring in somebody from some garbage school like Valparaiso or something like that? Or...
And there is a history. I hate you. There is Bryce Drew, by the way, on the top 10 list. One writer put a list of possible names. They put Bryce Drew on there. Oh, my goodness. How great would it be if Bryce Drew? I can't.
Literally one person.
Oh, wow.
That
just dawned on me.
One person in Wisconsin would love that.
I would love that. But in any event, you know, I think it's possible to say that Bo Ryan doesn't trust Barry Alvarez to get the job done. But there's a long history of coaches who have willed programs to, like, North Carolina. Dean Smith did it for Bill Guthridge. I mean, there's a history where
Tom Izzo,
right,
from Heathcote.
Yeah, but there's history where it hasn't worked.
Okay,
I mean, there's a lot of cases where it has not worked.
Tom Izzo has never won back-to-back national titles.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, some of his classes only go to one Final Four every 4 years.
When do we get to talk about whether Tom Izzo is the best Big Ten coach of all time? Because,
well,
Bobby
Ryan
Knight
has stats.
He does. Bobby Knight is largely considered the man. But Tom Izzo has got to be up there.
Well, I would say that people are trying to put Bo Ryan above Bobby Knight right now because of, like, the winning percentage and everything he's done. And I think that's a fair case, but I think Izzo is better than Bo.
Yeah.
So in that case,
not as much head-to-head, but overall body of work.
So I would say that you need to convince me 0% that I will follow in line and agree with you for the first time ever.
I definitely am intrigued to see where this Badgers program is going, very much in transition with the current roster makeup that they have. And they need to repair what I think the damage that was done in recruiting. I mean, they really missed an opportunity to cash in on these back-to-back Final Fours. They have nobody signed to letters of intent for the current recruiting class.
And now Riley Deering is gone.
Yeah.
He transferred out. Ugh.
Look, I'm not saying they're able to find gems that turn into diamonds.
Yeah.
No doubt. I have full faith in the process.
Unable to land a diamond.
They were unable to land a diamond.
That?
Or
see
anyone else of that ilk. I mean, if they get a shot, they've gone to back-to-back Final Fours, and one of the best prospects in the state of Wisconsin is coming through the state. I get that there could be any number of outside factors in play here. Why did he not end up at Wisconsin?
Yeah.
To me, no matter what, that is a little bit of a black mark on the overall thing.
There's a lot. There's a few. So we'll see.
The Milwaukee Brewers, speaking of teams in transition, are making all kinds of interesting moves.
I don't know who is on this team anymore.
We talked last time about how Adam Lind had been traded for three kids still in grammar school, and now a couple new kids, one of them also in grammar school, being traded for Jason Rogers, the guy who probably was supposed to replace Adam Lind at first base. So an interesting move because Jason Rogers is young, under team control for a while, cheap.
Which, I don't know, was anybody too excited about that?
No. I don't think anybody is like, oh no, Jason Rogers is going to be a star. And that is an interesting thing. Like, he's trading young potential breakout talents that are controllable. Nobody's excited about them, but they're worth a lot because you've got two quality prospects.
Yeah, this is a thorn in your side. The comparison of
with
what
Adam
Lind returned in a trade and what Jason Rogers.
And I understand why it is.
Have you come to grips now?
Well, I have. Adam Lind is a guy with 1 year. 1 year. Jason Rogers, you could have for 5 or 6. So I understand that there's a value there that will enable you to get a team's 15th best prospect, as they did in the Rogers trade, versus three guys that are not in the top 30 in another trade.
Which, also, how crazy is that the Pirates' 15th best prospect comes into the Brewers and barely makes the top 30?
Which is key to what David Stearns is doing.
Yeah.
They have a farm system that is gradually moving up toward top 5 status in Major League Baseball. And it sounds like he just wants to keep the 40-man roster clear as possible.
Yeah,
let these guys at AA and AAA really develop, take their time, because you don't want to bring up a guy now, use up his Arby time, and have him useless when this new wave of 19, 20, 21-year-olds
doesn't
get here.
Doesn't Arby's sound great right now?
I could really go for some Arby's.
Man.
I did not eat lunch.
Journalist.
Yeah.
Now, the other point we need to make is that the Pirates farm system and the Brewers farm system are in very different places right now.
Yes.
The Pirates major league talent has been called up. The Brewers minor league talent is still sitting.
Yes, that's
so
true.
There's a reason that he's probably the 15th, whereas 3 years ago, he probably was down towards 30.
Yeah. Prospect lists, I get, are a very subjective business.
Yeah.
Team to team, you can't compare them because of what you're just talking about. So I get that I'm speaking in sort of generalities when I'm trying to say that Adam Lind netted virtually nothing. All those guys could be stars.
Yeah.
The point is, I feel like he's worth more than that. I mean, Gerardo Parra was worth a major league ready starting pitcher who wasn't even in the majors yet.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even say that he was worth that, but my goodness,
he
wasn't. Melvin pulled that off.
Yeah, that was
a
miracle.
Did you see the stats? Like, Gerardo Parra did
nothing
in Baltimore, and they missed the playoffs.
Well, and they were going to miss the playoffs. That's the biggest thing. Like, I can't even believe they would want Gerardo Parra, who's not a star, he's a missing piece,
but,
to a team
that
had really a very long shot chance of getting in.
But that month that he had,
it was
they were milking that for all
time. That was a win for the
Milwaukee
Brewers.
Bottom line, who is on the Milwaukee Brewers right now? I mean, my goodness.
They have Ryan Braun.
So I joked that, like, they might have a $50 million payroll next year with Braun taking up 20 of it. Or I said 30. But realistically, it's probably going to be more like $55 million, and that's about it.
Yeah, and it's going to be brutal. It's going to be Houston Astros at the start of this brutal, but I think it gets better
faster. But that also includes, like, Chris Davis is one of your starters, and in very big quotes, one of your known commodities.
He gets traded now. After the Jason Rogers deal, I'm pretty sure that he's a commodity that will be moved.
But I'm just saying, like, that low payroll isn't indicative of a terrible, terrible season. Because that low payroll includes guys like Scooter Gennett, Chris Davis, even Gene Segura isn't making that much money.
I see what you mean, yeah.
You know, so it doesn't mean that they're Astros-level terrible, like Marlins-level terrible. That's right. Not necessarily the case. They might lose a lot, but I think that might be primarily because of the Cardinals, Cubs, and Pirates.
And if it all comes down to pitching, which I've always felt it has, their rotation isn't going to be worse than last year's. It's going to be everybody back and a little bit better, except for Matt Garza.
Which is so weird, you saying everybody back. Like, everybody back from September, not from April. Because April
was a very different world.
Not even close.
Yeah, I just mean everybody back from what they were working in the end of the year, where it was all rookies.
Davies,
at some point.
Youngman, Nelson, Peralta, Garza.
Exactly.
That's probably your five.
Yep. That's going to be interesting. But
and it's so weird to say
they're
going to
lose
like
a lot of games.
You know, so they might be like a 70-win team. And then, like, maybe you would say 75.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a big difference between them.
No, there's not
at all.
And that's the point that a lot of people rightly make.
Yeah, that's one, like, K-Rod home run, which may he rest in peace in Detroit. But, but, like, you know, that's one blown save between being, well, it's five blown saves. But it's not that big of a difference.
Well, I think the point is that, for the most part in baseball, winning 85 games, missing the playoffs, is the same as 67 games.
Yeah,
your draft position is a little different, but we're not. Yeah. What's the point? Only the top tier of teams make the playoffs. It doesn't matter if you're at the bottom or just slightly below the top. You're not good enough. So, in that sense, the Brewers should really be thinking, it's definitely not going to happen this year. We're going all in.
Yeah.
And I mean, I appreciate that. I hope, though, that these moves don't indicate to me that when those 19-year-olds are 25, that's when the next good Brewers team is. Because that's a long way.
That's 6 years. Oh, my goodness.
That's a long way.
No, I don't think they're that far away.
I don't either. But I'm getting tested because these trades tell me, like, we're not even interested in the next level of guys who could be here in 4 years. We're looking at guys that aren't even going to be here yet in 4 years.
I don't know. It's tough, but it's you know what? I don't envy the people in the sales office because they got a hard time this year.
It's going to be interesting. The only hope is that the Green Bay Packers continue to win.
You know what the worst part about all this Brewers talk is? How bad the roster is going to be? You know what it means? We're going to see a lot of Hank next year.
Oh, so much Hank.
Oh,
Hank
we're going to see a lot of Hank.
He is,
look at this shiny, cute little puppy. Don't look on the field.
Very cost-controllable, too. He is does not count a big number against the
payroll. Oh, boy. So there we go.
That's all there is to it, folks.
That's it. So we will reconvene on Christmas morning when JR and I hang out together and do... Oh, no, we'll probably take a break.
Yeah.
We'll probably take a little break.
Yeah, we're going to leave you alone for the holidays. I'm going to steal JP's saltwater taffy here and...
leave my Christmas gifts alone.
That's a Christmas gift?
Yeah, it's part of a Christmas gift.
I'm
going to
steal it.
Back
I'm hungry.
Off.
I'm going to get Arby's.
So that's about it. We got on Sports Weekly, we got some Greg Gard taking over. Have a feature on a UW Green Bay basketball player, Allie LeClaire, who's taking over and doing some things down there. What else do I have on the show? Oh, we awarded our football play of the year because the season ends and then there's like a month of voting and then we get the trophy out and the big fat check. So that happens. So
cool.
There's some good stuff. And I'm flying to Oakland, California tomorrow.
The Green Bay Packers, they have a game there.
Yeah, did you write like 8,000 words on playoff?
There were some words written.
This is entirely too long.
Well, it might have been.
That is Exhibit A of... me knowing you don't have an editor.
Well, I was curious
about...
Ramble. I did. I was curious about the Packers tie-breaking situation. Yeah. You can read that at
it
the Preps Alcove at LakeCountryNow.com. It was interesting, but then the Buccaneers went ahead and eliminated themselves from contention last night, from at least contention.
So now it's only like
Packers.
7,500 relevant words.
Yeah. It definitely... if you want to check it out, basically the revelations are the Giants and Eagles can do no wrong for the Packers. Cheer for them. They're going to help you. We want the Redskins and Falcons out of the way. If those two teams lose, or if the Packers win, or if the Falcons and Redskins both lose this week, it's over. Packers are going to the playoffs. We don't know where they're going yet, but The Packers only need one win to get in. That should be obvious. And then it's all about where they finish. Mm-hmm. They can still do some things.
Still alive.
Still alive. Very much alive, in my opinion. I think Arizona's got a very tough schedule. Yep. Philly, they have to go to Philly, and then they play the Packers. Packers have to beat Arizona if they want the two. And then Seattle to close the year. Yeah. That's not an easy sell or not an easy road. So could be that the Packers could be as high as the two seed or still the six.
Yeah, I could see the Packers going 3-0, and I could see them going 0-3.
Absolutely. That is the world we live in right now with the Green Bay Packers.
What else is going on mycommunitynow.com/push?
Well, it's not. Nothing on. We're still not doing the push. We're done with push. mycommunitynow.com/roundball. Your round ball rankings. You can check out our full rundown of
who's
the area
your favorite
teams.
Boys basketball team right now?
Well, I saw the Pewaukee boys play, and they're really good. They don't have a star per se. They got a few guys that kind of qualify, but they are very balanced, very tough team. So they beat up on Whitnall. They're scheduled to play Pius here Friday night. That'll be a big game for them as well.
They beat Whitnall, huh?
They did.
By a lot?
Yeah, handled them pretty good.
How did Tyler Hero do?
Tyler Hero did not have a good game. They threw a box and one at him, and they were able to gum it up for him. And they actually really, at least two of his baskets were off of kind of weird, quirky, fast break plays involving the referee getting hit with the basketball, both of them. So
he deserved it.
Yeah, if you say so.
Okay, so Pewaukee your favorite right now?
Well, I guess. But, I mean, yeah, not the best, but definitely my favorite right now. Game on.
We have DePere against Stevens Point on Friday. Which
ooh, that's
on
a good game.
Should be on channel 310 for everybody. Yeah. That's our Green Bay game. I forget which game we have down here, but DePere Stevens Point would be pretty good.
If you get a chance to see that Stevens Point basketball team, they're very much the real deal. They were phenomenal last year. They played Germantown in the Wisconsin Basketball Yearbook Shootout.
On Time Warner Cable Sports Channel.
I believe on Wednesday night, the 30th?
Wednesday
the 30th. So check that out if you get a chance. You might see J.P. Cadorna running around on the sidelines. Maybe not.
No.
All right, that's enough. Enjoy your holidays. Spend it with family. Blah, blah, blah. Presents.
Quit listening to
carols,
us.
Christmas. Yeah. Have a good one.
Bye, friends.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.